This episode is all about learning to read. There are lots of elements of literacy. There's reading aloud, memorizing poetry in beautiful language, creating a culture around reading in your home, and all of those things are super important. But this episode specifically sets out to answer the most common questions I hear and the most common fears I hear about just sitting down and showing your child how to read words. That's what this episode is about. Welcome to Everyday Homeschool. No matter where you're at in your homeschooling journey, this podcast will equip, inspire, and encourage you in your everyday homeschooling life. Today, I'm talking all about learning to read, specifically about teaching your kids to read at home, side by side, on the couch, without tears. With my first child learning to read, there were definitely tears. Probably because I was stressed. I was worried that things that were hard for her were a reflection of how bad of a homeschool mom I was. I was worried and afraid of keeping up and her learning to read at the same pace or ahead or better than other people we knew. So basically, a lot of the problems stemmed from me and my stress and my fear. Around the time that my oldest turned 6 or 7, we started using a program that had phonograms. And at the time, her younger sister was 4 or 5, and she basically taught herself to read from learning these phonograms on accident next to her older sister. And that really got me curious, like, what was going on here? How could she just learn all these sounds and then put them together to make words? So that sent me on a deep dive of trying to understand phonograms. There were tons of research on how phonograms work and how to teach them. There's lots of amazing language arts programs that utilize phonogram-based reading instruction. And so I just spent the next several years learning how kids learn to read, reading those programs, reading the research, and that's what I'm sharing with you today. I won't share all the research, that gets pretty boring, but I will share the exact process that you can use at home to teach your kids to read. This process can be gentle, it can be done at any age, it can be done very gradually, and so I hope you find this episode really helpful. The first thing that needs to be in place is that your kids need to be ready to read. This does not really depend on the child's age. Reading readiness has more to do with developmentally where they're at. And if they have an awareness that print means something, that there's print around them, letters on a page, letters on signs in books, and they're kind of just recognizing that, hey, I think those symbols mean something and other people seem to know what it means and I want to know what it means. And you'll notice your kids will start asking questions like, what does that say? What does my name start with? They'll want to write their own name. They'll want to play alphabet games. This is all a sign that your child might be ready to read. All of our kids, I have sort of encouraged to learn to read really young. Some people prefer to wait until kids are older. I think really more important than age is the kids' readiness. There's a whole school of thought out there that's pretty popular in the homeschooling world that you have to wait until kids are older, that it's better for them. And then I've heard people say, you know what, I wish I wouldn't have got so caught up in waiting and delaying formal reading instruction when my young child was clearly ready to read. And then on the flip side, there's a whole movement just in education in general to start younger and younger and younger. And so when your kids are 2, they should be singing the ABC song. And when they're 3, they should be learning their letter sounds. And when they're 4, they should be in school all day. And, you know, just because your child is not ready to learn to read at the age of 4 or 5, it doesn't mean they're late. It doesn't mean they're delayed. So I would get away in your mind from the age and just think about your particular child. And do they have a general awareness that there are letters and that they mean something? And if so, you can actually test and see if your kids are ready to learn to read. Here's how you would do that. You would just teach 3 to 5 phonograms and review them daily. Phonograms are letter sounds. They can also be multi-letter sounds, and they always include all the sounds a letter makes. So the letter A has 3 sounds, a, a, ah. So you would just write an A or write it on an index card, buy a set of flashcards, and show the child A and say, this letter is A. It has 3 sounds, a, a, ah. And I like to count them with my fingers when I say this. And then I just say, can you say those sounds? A, a, ah. And they'll say it, probably they'll copy you, and then you can make a little game out of it, like hide the flashcard, and every time they see it, they have to say ah, a, ah, or something. Do the same thing with two more sounds, T, T, with a whisper, and M, M. Those are three great sounds to start with. The order doesn't really matter. You know, there's an order, and in my phonogram kit, I share a recommended order. You could look it up online. But you want to teach 3 to 5 phonograms. And one thing about the order is if your child's name starts with whatever letter your child's name starts with, that's usually a good one to start with, and then a couple others. So you want to review these phonogram sounds daily. It should take 5 minutes or less because you're only teaching a couple sounds. You could play a little game. You could jump on the phonograms. You could hide them and find them. You could write them on post-it notes and sort them. But basically, after a couple weeks, if your child can associate seeing that letter with the sounds that it makes, then they're probably ready to keep going. If your child, and I had a kid like this, actually I had a couple, who after a couple weeks of playing little games and activities with the same 3 to 5 sounds, I showed the child the letter and they had no idea what it said. Guess what? Not ready. So that's the simple test. Is your child ready to learn to read or not? Once you know that your child is ready, well, let me say this. If your child is not ready, don't sweat it. Just try again in 3 months. Keep playing. Keep reading to your child. Keep listening to nursery rhymes and kids' songs and giving them lots of unstructured playtime. And eventually they'll be ready. And it might be in 3 to 6 months, and it might be another year. But anytime you want to test if your child is ready to read, that's what you do. Teach them 3 to 5 sounds. See if they know them a week or two later. And if they do, they're ready to go. So the first step beyond assessing readiness is to actually teach all of the first 26 to 30 phonogram sounds. That's A through Z plus a few basic two-letter phonograms like TH, SH, ED, EE. Those are some helpful ones to get started with after the kids learn the letter sounds. And like I said originally, when you're teaching phonograms, you want to make sure you teach all the sounds the letter says. So all the vowels have multiple sounds. S can say s or z. There's lots of phonogram tips. I have a really detailed post that I'll link in the show notes about exactly how to teach every single phonogram step with flashcards and pronunciations, etc. But basically, you want to make sure you're teaching all the letter sounds that every letter says. And there's lots of ways, resources for you online, which I will link in the show notes. For what it's worth, I didn't know what phonograms were, and I didn't know the phonogram sounds. I had never thought through that S has two sounds, or that ED can say ed, d, or t for different past words, past tense endings. And so I learned the phonograms alongside my first two kids who learned to read with phonograms, and that is totally okay. You do not have to be a phonograms expert. You don't even have to know the phonograms. You can print the sheet that I have for free on my website, get some flashcards, and learn them alongside your children. Okay, while you are teaching the phonograms, this second step to learning to read actually happens in tandem. So sometimes you want to be playing little phonogram games, and sometimes you want to play this game called Say It Slow, Say It Fast. I adapted this from Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Easy Days, which can be a helpful book to supplement learning, but I would say its one flaw is that it doesn't have phonograms, and so kids get stuck about halfway through. I see that over and over, but I do use that as a resource, and it's a great book. They have a game in there, and basically you say something really slow to your child, and then you ask them to say it slow and then say it fast. So I might say back pack, and then I'll say, did you hear the word that was hiding in there? What word is that? And the child will say backpack. And you can start with compound words or even little phrases. Fish tank, laptop, laptop. And then they're pretty good at the compound words usually. At some point, I will switch to just saying long words or short words really slowly. So I just might say computer. And then the child will say computer. Or I might say, mommy, and the child will say mommy. This auditory skill is actually the missing piece for tons of children. And this game, Say It Slow, Say It Fast, is absolutely the easiest way to build it. Because all the time when I'm in Facebook groups or talking to parents, I will hear them say something like, my child can make the sounds, but they have trouble blending it together. So they see the word spelled C-A-T and they sound it out, at, and they can't hear the word cat. And actually, this process of blending what you hear is reading. Lots of reading science research has shown that all of our reading, even though we mistakenly for many years thought people were reading by sight, actually what's happening is your brain is decoding all the sounds and the patterns very, very quickly in order to enable you to read fluently. So part of that reading fluently is hearing in your ear and in your mind what the sounds sound like when they're all blended together, and that makes a word. And so this blending game, it's so simple, but I can't tell you how many times I've recommended it to someone and then they come back, you know, 2 weeks later and they're like, it clicked, blending clicked for my kids. So that is another thing I will link on the show notes. That is a free, I have a free printable with tons and tons of words. If you don't want to make up your own, they start out easy with compound words and they get harder. And you just play that game for a few weeks and your kids will have the blending down so that when they get to building their own words and reading words in front of them, they'll already have both the sounds, the phonograms component that they need to know, and they'll have this auditory skill built up where they can attend and pay attention to the sounds that they're reading and like store them in their ear and in their mind and then blend them together to make a word. I will say on Say It Slow, Say It Fast, sometimes it's fun to reverse it and see if the kid can say the word slowly, because that's what's going to happen when they start reading, right? They're going to see a word and they're going to be like, them, you know? So they need to practice saying words slowly and then saying it quickly. So sometimes I will say the word, you know, I'll say, I'm going to give you a word. See if you can say it as slow as you can. Map. And they'll say map. And if it's not slow enough, I'll say, I bet you can say it even slower. And sometimes during this conversation or during this activity, it will come out that you cannot say consonants, certain consonants, slowly. You can't say t, p. There's certain explosive consonants that you can't slow down, right? You could say p, but the p sound, the p, is actually not slow. You've added an to make it sound slow. So I always tell kids, if that comes up, I just say, oh, you don't have to make the p slow. P is always quick. You know, let's make the m and the a slow. Map. And you only have to talk about that a couple times before kids figure it out. Okay, so now let's say your child knows at least 10, but preferably 20 phonograms or more, and they're really good at this blending game. They can say it slow, they can say it fast, and maybe they've even started asking, like, what does that say? How do you spell cat? You know, how do you spell? And then asking you questions about that. They are probably ready to start building words, and I really like building words to introduce the idea of reading, and so I will also link a post that I wrote about how to teach word building. If you can have some sort of movable alphabet, little wooden letters, which I'll link the ones we use for this. That's super helpful, especially if your child's really young. If at this point that they're learning to read, they're already pretty good at writing letters, you might not need a movable alphabet. But oftentimes, though I do really like to teach handwriting along with learning to read, the mechanics of writing the letters can slow kids down. And so for some kids, and you would know your kid best if this will be helpful, a movable alphabet, wooden pieces, magnetic pieces can be really helpful. And for our kids, it's just kind of worked out that at the very beginning, the word building was fun for them. And then once they got the hang of reading even just a little bit, it felt slow and tedious to them to look for the letters they wanted. And so once that happened, we just switched over to writing out letters on a dry erase board. I will also in the show notes put a few handwriting curriculum recommendations. I have a kit where you can just print off worksheets that have all the phonograms on them. And a lot of times I'll just pop the ones we're working on in a dry erase, like a binder page protector, and make it dry erase. And that way the kid can practice a few letters over and over while also saying the sounds. And that will help connect the sounds better if they're also writing, and it gives them practice and repetition on writing. So I'll just link all those things, but basically feel free to use some sort of movable alphabet if your child isn't really ready to write, or if the writing mechanics are holding them up. And then if they're like, this movable alphabet is so irritating, I don't like finding the letters, then you can just use a dry erase board or a marker or a crayon or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Okay, so you're going to start building words. You're going to start with the word at, and then put different consonants in front of the word at, and show your child how they can put the m in front of at and make mat, fat, pat, cat, bat. And then you're going to move on. Maybe you might change out the A to be an E. And so now you've got met, bet, vet. And then you might change it to be an I, or you might change the ending consonant to be a D. Use consonants and vowels that they're really comfortable with, and show them that the A is going to say ah, and then you don't really need to talk about it that much more. So they know when they're practicing their phonogram flashcards and games, when we see A, we say ah, A, ah. But very quickly, they'll make the jump that in the beginning word building, they can just say the first sound, the short vowel sound, and they'll just automatically do that. And it won't mess them up for later when you teach that A can say a long vowel sound in a word by adding a silent E. I promise. Their brain starts to sort and file the whole code, and it's really cool to watch it happen. You're going to keep word building for a long time. In our reading lessons, we sort of do a mix of building new words, which is really spelling. If you think about it, you're like, we're going to build the word mom. And then let's say the sounds. We're going to find them or write them. Now we've just spelled the word mom, but we're like spelling and reading at the same time. So I use lists for this. There's a great old book called The Wise Guide. It's brown. It has lists that start with like cat and toy, and they go all the way up to Latin derivative English words. So that's a helpful book. You can also look up the Deutsch reading lists. Those are based on frequency. So if a word is used more frequently in the English language, it's earlier on the list. Some people teach those Deutsch reading lists as sight words and they have kids memorize them. 99% of the words on the Deutsch lists are phonetic and can be taught with phonics and phonograms activities. So if you're just looking for help finding words, you can find those in the show notes as well. You can also just Google spelling words for kindergarten and a whole bunch of words will come up. You can also use this process to read and spell things that your kids want to read and spell. Maybe they have a favorite book they love and you just pull words out of the book. Or sometimes I'll pull words from a book my kids love one at a time, and they'll think they're reading and writing and building individual words. And then if we string them all together, it's actually a sentence from the book. And if they have the book memorized, that's especially really fun because then they're like, hey, wait, I recognize this sentence. So you can get words from anywhere. There's not like a perfect word order, but I do have some recommendations for words in the show notes that I will link as well. After this point, your kid essentially is reading, right? It's just really slow and clunky and they need a lot more practice. And mastery of reading depends on the kids. Some kids, you show this to them and they are just off. They can piece the sounds together, sound out words, and they just slowly build their fluency on their own. For other kids, it's hard, it's slow, and so they're not just picking up books and practicing for fun because the code feels hard. And so they need more practice, more repetition with a teacher. So in that case, you would just, actually in either case, you would just continue teaching 3 to 5 phonograms per week until the first 75 are mastered. And like I said, there's a list on my website. I'll link it in the show notes. But mastery could take a year or two. So you want to keep introducing the sounds pretty quickly, but then you might cycle back to them once you're all done. Right? And each time you cycle through them, your kids will master a few more. I'm always kind of reviewing the mastered ones, maybe like a couple days a week or once a week, really quickly with flashcards, and then we're usually practicing some phonograms. And for those, I use really simple games and activities, and everything I use is in my phonogram kit. Once your child is more familiar with the phonograms and they're farther along in this process, so they've maybe built some words and they know 20 to 30 phonograms, you can actually start dictating phonograms to them. Okay, this is also like spelling. You say the sound, so you say and see if your child can write it. And at first they might be confused, so just explain it. I'm going to say a sound and you write it and say And if they don't know how to write it, either write it for them and have them copy it, or show them the card and they'll be like, oh, and then show them how to write it. It's really helpful if your child already knows how to write the alphabet before you begin dictation. So I usually just wait until writing the lowercase alphabet is comfortable, and then I start introducing this idea of dictating. And we start with all the single letter phonograms, and then we move on to the double letter ones. So I might say, okay, now can you write E double E? And the child like gets this little light bulb look, and then they write two E's. And whenever we're doing double letter phonograms, I always teach them to underline it. At this point, let's talk about books. Your child actually does not need to read from books to learn to read at first. I would say just use books based on your child's interest. So like I said, there are some kids who you teach these sounds, you teach the blending, you show them how words are built, and they just sort of start to take off. They piece it all together. It comes very naturally. Those kids probably want books. Beginning reading books, you know, you can just keep them in their bed. You can keep them in a special basket. You can designate read from this basket time. You can look at pictures, or you can sound out words. And so beginning reading books are not usually as engaging and interesting as like real books, real storybooks, but I do have a list of beginning reading books on my website. I'll link it in the show notes, of books that we actually all enjoyed reading that were still geared towards beginning readers. So those books are helpful because they have lots and lots of words that kids can sound out really easily. So at any point, you could introduce beginning reading books. But I would say that if you're early on in this process and you're just starting to learn your first 10 phonograms and how to blend them together, and you introduce reading from books, depending on the kid's personality, they might feel really frustrated. Like, I don't know how to read because I'm opening this book and I can't put the sounds together to make words. So I don't know how to read and I don't like it. If that's the case, or you sense that at all, I would just not open any books for your child to read and stick to building words, teaching phonograms, playing the blending game, and building words, meaning spelling, writing words on dry erase board, markers, building them with letters, however you want to build words. That is the foundation for learning to read. And you can keep introducing every so often. You can pull out an early reading book and say, let's read this book together. We can take turns on the words. And if you sense that your previously frustrated child is sort of having light bulbs, like, oh my gosh, I can read this, then you can switch from let's take turns on words to let's take turns on pages or something. And like I said, I have a whole list of books that I would recommend for that phase. So that's it. That's how you teach your child to read. You do each of those few things. You build on them over several weeks, months, probably years, and you just keep doing them. You don't really need expensive reading curriculum. You don't need to have a literacy master's degree in early childhood literacy. You don't need to be an expert. You just have to follow that process. Because I had several people asking me specific questions and saying, okay, but how do I follow the process? Show me how. How do I spell out the sounds? How does my kid write this? Just the very detailed nitty gritty. I did teach a live workshop last summer to some moms about how reading lessons look. I answered their questions, and I actually bundled all of that with my phonograms kit. It just comes with phonogram flashcards, phonogram games, phonogram handwriting worksheets. It's all digital, so you can download it, print it, use it however you want with as many children as you want. And I will link that in the show notes as well, because that bundle of this workshop that goes super in depth on how to teach reading, more in depth than I did on this podcast, and then provides you with the kit. People are finding that really helpful. And so I will share that with you. The other thing to consider is a reading curriculum. And you can follow the process I outlined in this podcast, the process I teach in my workshop, and you will not need an expensive curriculum. However, that being said, some people find that having the done for you curriculum is really helpful to them. Some people, the way they're wired to teach their kids, they really want to be able to open the teacher's manual and see exactly what activities that day to do. And I have been at seasons in my life where that has been really helpful to me. So if you're going to go with an all-in-one curriculum, I would highly recommend Logic of English, Foundations for Young Children Under 8, Essentials for Kids Over 8. It's not perfect. Mainly the complaint I get from people is this gets boring. This is getting tedious. Why do we have to learn all this grammar? To which I would say, skip the parts that aren't helpful to you and use the curriculum in a way that is helpful to you. So the Foundations, the Logic of English reading curriculum is extremely well done. It's also pricey. It's kind of an investment up front, but then you can use it with multiple kids. And the only thing you really have to replace is the workbook. I will put my affiliate link in my show notes to that as well, along with a list of the exact products that I actually recommend buying. You don't need their kit. You only need a few components of their program. So if you're going to go with Logic of English, I will put it in the show notes. The show notes from today's episode are at musicalmemory.com/podcast. Before you close out of your app, would you take a second to subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating? That will help other people find it too. Thanks for listening and happy homeschooling.